Let's thank Judith C.
from Gaithersburg again, please. Thank you for stepping up, as she so eloquently discussed. Our second speaker now is Martin C. from Baltimore. Let's welcome Martin C. Come on up, man.
I'm an artist. My name is Martin Lawrence. It's so crazy. Now I'm an ag, my name is Martin. And I came through God's grace to program a Narcotic Anonymous. A lot of help from people like you sitting there today, some work on my own. I think the meeting's over. I mean, Judy said it all. You know, we can leave, you know, my opinion. She did a great job. God bless you. Thank you. And it seems like, let me say, I'm from the Baltimore area.
Demo.
I came there September the 10th, 1983. There at the time, by God's grace, and a lot of work on my own and some work, some help from God, I hadn't found the need to use in the day at a time. And it seems like the longer I stay here, the more that God proves to me that I don't have a clue what His will is. I come to this convention mostly every year now because I'm involved in the Free State Regional Service Center in Baltimore, where we sell literature. And some of the areas we sell is Gaithersburg ordered literature from us, New York, New Jersey, Philadelphia.
So have I.
In his area.
Yeah,
so
I'm in D.C.
D.C. So, you know, we're down here selling literature over the weekend. Yeah. I came out to meeting to call my wife to check on and see how she's doing. Somebody ran up. God's not even in. You know anything about steps 8 and 9? I said, yeah. Come on, you go through the meeting. Well, he said 8 and 9 to all. And all he said, we need somebody. You go on in there and tell that guy you coming in there through the meeting. I said, well, he said, go through it. I said, okay, man, I'll go in. And I came in and found out they needed somebody. And I'm like, Judith, you know, if I'm willing and able to do something, especially if somebody asks me, I try to go ahead and do it. Sometimes I'm willing, but sometimes I'm just not able to do it. And sometimes I don't want to turn down my shirt collar and I don't want to say no because I want to do everything that you're asking me to do. But over the years I've learned that I can't do everything. You know, I can only do what God has put in front of me. You know, and sometimes I can't do that. You know, step 10 talks about we continue to take a personal inventory. And when we're wrong, promptly admit it. I try, to the best of my ability, with the help of God and y'all, to kind of like relate the steps to my present life. You know, my father-in-law and mother-in-law came to live with me and my wife in 2005. They lost everything in Katrina in New Orleans. Wiped them out. His heart, he worked all his life, took care of his family, raised his kids. My mother-in-law never had to work, so this is a proud man, proud black man. And then he lose everything in a blink of an eye. Mm. And I remember them calling us in Baltimore, calling me and Rhonda, and say, Mom and Dad need somewhere to come until we get straight here. So Rhonda looked at me and said, can my parents come? I said, they're not here yet?
Yeah.
You know. And that's God's will, you know. I'm not taking the credit for that. And they came. So they've been with us since September 2005. And in that process, my mother-in-law has taken real sick. You know, she suffered from Alzheimer's, dementia. She doesn't know nobody. She doesn't know where she's at. Everything has to be done for her. She has to be fed. She has to be clothed. She has to be take care like a little baby. Mm-hmm. Had to take care of her literally, and I watched my wife do that with the help of some care givers that God sent us. So I watched my wife take care of her day after day, you know, and I pitch in as much as I possibly can with that. And then my father-in-law was there, so during the day, my father-in-law would look out for his wife, while me and my while I worked and Rhonda worked. So when Rhonda would get home in the evening, then she had to just take care of my baby and get her feed her and get her ready for bed. So 2 weeks ago, no, 4 weeks, over 4 weeks ago, my father-in-law was diagnosed with lung cancer. Third stage of lung cancer, third level, whatever they call it. It was severe. The cancer hadn't spread. It's in his, over 35 years ago, he had a lung, part of his lung removed. So he's operating on a lung and a half. And cancer came back on a good lung. Now, one of the things and I'm just like anybody else, and I think somebody can identify, I'm selfish, I'm self-centered, I'm egotistical, I don't want anybody to tell me what to do, I don't like to say I'm sorry and please help me, and I want what I want when I want.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You know, I've suffered that all of my life. I found it out by coming to Narcotics Anonymous. I found that these things cause me more problems in my life than anything else, you know. So these areas I've been putting a lot of time and trying to be aware of it as much as I possibly can. My father-in-law used to do those things that irritate me. You know, I had a little couch in there. He'd come up, he'd lay out on the couch. I can't sit in the couch, watch the TV. So I got to sit in the chair. I'm telling my wife, Ron, you know, Pop, you know, he spreads right on up. You know? So she said, babe, I know it. You know, she would talk to him and everything. So Ron, they got pressure, so maybe I didn't like him. I said, no, I like him. It's some things he just irritates me, you know. I'll be washing the dishes, and he'll come in, put his dish up on the counter, and I look, and, you know, my attitude is like, okay, bitch, wash the dishes, you know. The man ain't did that, you know, but that's where I go, you know. So, but God has a sense of humor, man, because we found out 4 weeks ago that he had lung cancer. And my wife was on the phone with him. When he found out, he was at the hospital, her knees buckled, man, and my heart skipped a beat. I didn't want that for the old man. So I've been concentrating on not being selfish, asking God, please, please take that selfishness away, because that's what it is when I get the more crazy thoughts and them old remarks. I don't say it, but when I think the more negative thing, it's the selfish part of Martin that wants to come out, man. And I've been praying regularly, more than I've ever prayed, it seems like, on God helping me in this area of my life, man. And you know what? I don't miss a day. He's been in the hospital since Monday. We had to take him to chemo and radiation. He goes 5 days a week for radiation and 1 day for chemo. So I'm trying to help my wife here. I said, look, you go to work, I'm taking this day, that day, you know, and make sure he gets his medicine, his treatment, and bring him back. And he was admitted back into the hospital on Monday, this past Monday. And man, I've been worried about him ever since. You know, I called him, I went over and see him. Like they called my wife last night and said, you talk to your papa, how's he doing? And it dawned on me last night that God was giving me what I asked for. Because I'm selfish. So the selfish part was like, don't even worry about it. But I'm worried about it. I'm concerned about it. I don't want that for him. I'm willing to say, come on, man, stretch on the couch. You can sleep there or do anything you want to do. You know? That's where my heart is now, man. You know? And I'm trying to stay vigilant of that, man. Constantly I'm trying. Taking an inventory of myself on a day-to-day basis. So, because my wife, when I look at my wife and she look at her parents, I can see the love in her eyes for her parents, man. And I want to be there to help her. I don't want to be there to cause any havoc or bring any uncomfortable feelings, because she's probably uncomfortable there. Because all the time she said, Martin, thanks for me. If you weren't here, I don't know what I would do.
Yeah.
You know, so she's periodically, she's always thanking me. I said, she really don't have to thank me. I want to be there. I want to help her, to help her parents. You know, and I asked, I said, is there anything else I can do? You know, anything you want me to do? You know, he can't wash his clothes. I wash the clothes for him. I fold them. I don't give a shit. I do all that now. And I don't do it and feel bad about doing it, you know. I don't have that attitude like, why should I wash his fucking clothes? I don't have that attitude. I'm it's an honor, almost like to wash his clothes, you know, and fold them and put them back in his room, you know. And my wife coming to me later, she said, thanks for doing that, you know. So that was real nice. I said, Ron, don't worry about it. I got it, you know. And her mother clothes has to be washed. I'm retired. I'm home all day. I think it'd be trifling for me to be home all day and not do that.
Come on, man.
Yeah. That's the way I feel.
Help somebody.
You know, so my wife works every day, so I can do the laundry. I do the scrubbing of the floors. I do the windows. I do the dishes. I do the bathroom. I do all that. You know, and that's because I want to help her. I figured after that, then that's the best thing she has to do. You know, and I believe all these things, man, that I'm talking about right now at some point do with that 10th step. Because if I'm not able to look at myself and correct myself and accept who I am and be willing to do some work, I couldn't be the person that I am today. I couldn't give you all this if I had not prayed and looked at myself and said, man, you wrong. But it's okay. You can get better with that, man. I talk to a lot of people, you know. Well, not a lot. I talk to people. And 30 years later, I ain't got no problem not telling you how I feel or tell you what I think. Because
yeah.
I know somebody in the same boat. And somebody will say, hey, man, I know what you're talking about. Because it's a good feeling when you be talking some stuff about yourself. And two or three people come up and say, man, I'm suffering from the same thing, but you making it do it. Tell me how you do it. I said, man, I'm praying. I'm getting me some knee pads, and I'm getting busy, baby. You know, I'm talking to people because I want some help, too. You know, so I really believe, man, by looking at myself. And they say the more we do that 10th step, the easier it gets. I don't use the correction part of that step a lot. Like I used to 10 years ago, or 5 years ago, or 3 years ago. I don't use as much of that. Because I'm conscious. I know who I am, I know what I would do, and I know why I do things. I don't do stuff and say, well, I don't know why I did that. Or, this is one of the famous things in Baltimore, my disease made me do it. I was going some of that shit before I started using it. I think that way, and this I don't think way before I start using. So what I'm gonna say? Is my disease at 6 years old? You know, I wasn't drinking and driving at 6. You know, so somebody to tell the truth to me about me and about the way I live. You know, and I didn't do that solely by myself. I know it's through God and y'all. If it wasn't for y'all showing me the way, and as a result, you showing me the way, I saw God. And I was able to come right on in, man, and do some of the things that y'all was doing. You know, Levin talks about improving how conscious contact with God is. We understand praying only for the knowledge of real force and the power to carry that out. And I have been praying. I have a ritual that I have a bad hip and a bad knee. So I don't get on my knees every morning or every night because it's a difficulty getting up. I sit on the side of my bed and I go through my little prayers, the 5 pieces of literature I read before I leave my bedroom. And I like to call it spiritual literature. You know, it talks about God, it talks about a higher power. And I read these pieces of literature every day, man, before I leave my bedroom. And one of the things that I say every morning, God, let your will be done, not mine. And it was God's will for that guy to come out there this morning and say, can you do the meeting?
Yeah.
Or do you have any knowledge of the steps 10, 11, or 8, 9, whatever he said. And I didn't say, no, I can't do it. I'll be able to call my wife. I'm on the phone. And I said, where's the meeting, man? He said, it's over there. I said, well, how many speakers you got? He said, well, you hit so far. So I knew that, you know, I'm sitting here, I realized that was God's will. Because my plan was to come and just help sell literature with my friend Lamont and my sponsor Frank over in the merchandise room. That was my plan this morning. That's what I thought God's will was going to be for me this morning. But God, you know, has a sense of humor. And he used us as we see fit.
Yes.
You know. So I've been praying, man, to improve my conscious contact with God. And I feel His presence sometimes. I wish I could say, man, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, I feel the presence of God. But sometimes I do feel His presence. I feel an overwhelming power greater than me. And what really blows my mind when I see it come through other people.
Yeah.
And I see them do their thing. I see where they come from and what they're doing. You know, I was listening to Judy, and she was sharing, man, and talked about her active addiction and where she's at now. And I was saying, like, God, I've really been working with her too, you know. I can see that other people before I see it in myself. And I'm glad it's like that. Because if I see it, I'll mess it up. You know? If I see it coming, I'll run. You know, we take another route, man, or, you know, reverse it or something like that. But, you know, I'm able to see it in other people, man. I'm able to see people come out here with nothing, man.
Yeah.
You come out here and not even have a bus pass. I see them get a bus pass. I see them get a car. I see them get a home. I see them get a GED. I see them get a BA. I see them get master's.
Yes, sir.
Then I see them get doctor's degrees.
Yes, sir.
And God is helping them to do all that. You know, I had an older brother, he's deceased, man, may he rest in peace. And I had about 7, 8 years clean. I was living with my mom at that time. And my brother took real sick in Florida. And he came back to Baltimore. And I picked him up from the bus station one night, brought him to my mother's house. It was in January, it was snow on the ground, it was just bad. It was a Sunday night, we had a lot of snow anyway. I brought him there and he was real sick, suffering from malnutrition, he had HIV, you know, he was just in bad, bad shape. And I helped him go upstairs in the middle bedroom and put him to bed, and the clothes he had, I just took them off and burned them up because that's what they were good for. That's how much of bad shape he was. He had been living on the street. And 2 days later, my mom said, he's got to be bathed. I said, yeah. Yeah. So she said, you got a baby. I said, yeah. So I said, okay. So that was one of the hardest things I had ever done in recovery. I had to pick my brother up literally, take him and place him in the bathtub, and take a washcloth and soap and wash him, wash his private parts and all that. Something went through me like ice water. I got real angry. I didn't want to do it. I didn't think I had to do it. I was cussing him all in my mind. No, you're bringing this crap back to my mother, and she don't need to be seeing this. She don't need to be dealing with this. You know, she's up in age. She don't need a whole lot of, you know, foolishness going on. I was just angry, man. Angry. And I remember one night, I went to bathe him. And I was sitting in my bedroom, and I was sitting on the side of the bed, and I cried out. I said, God, I can't do this. I need some help. I really can't do this. I don't want to do this. And I remember had my window crack, and I remember the door shut, and the curtain went out towards the window. A breeze came by. And I fell asleep. I went to sleep. And I noticed 3 days later, I was giving my brother a bath, and I wasn't angry. I wasn't pissed. I was doing it like it was natural. You know, I was washing the private parts, and I wasn't angry. I wasn't cussing him out in my mind or nothing, man. And I always talk about this because I really believe in my heart today that was the first time in recovery I had made an actual conscious contact with a God of my understanding. I cried out for help. And I've heard y'all talk about that. And I used to envy these kind of experiences because I had not had one like that. You know, y'all used to always say, we all get a turn. And I had my turn at 7 years clean, man. And I said, this, because I was sincere about what I was asking for. I was sincere about talking to God and telling him I couldn't do this anymore. You know, that I was pissed off with my brother. You know, why should I have to do this, man? And, I didn't notice until 3 or 4 days later. I was bathing him, and it didn't bother me, you know. And my brother got better, man. And I remember telling him, I said, look, you know, you want to go to a meeting? My brother cussed me out. Told me he don't go to no meetings. He don't know about NA and I did. And I ain't bothered him since, man. Not about NA, you know. And I understood that because y'all helped me to understand that, you know. He just, he didn't, you know, he didn't believe he was an I. He didn't believe he was like us, you know. But we know a duck when we see one. So, but, and you know, God rest his soul, he died on the street. He died on the street, you know. He died, and 1 month, we found out 3 months later, he was in the morgue. Melody examined him. That's where they had him at. But they do the research on bodies. They had him there. We had him. The doctor, the admitting doctor, hadn't called us. We would have never known my brother had passed. You know, so I think about that when I think about the 11th step. And today, man, I hit, you know, I don't hit my knees. I'm not going to tell you I hit my knees, which wouldn't be true. I sit on the side of my bed, and hopefully when I do get this hip replacement in the later part of this year, and I get better with that, my knee get better, I'll be able to, because I'm still humble sitting on the side of my bed. I'm humble, and I'm asking God to give me all the help that I need to make it through another day, you know. So it's been a blessing to be here at this convention. It's all it is, always is, and I always enjoy it. It's always good to see people that I haven't seen in a while. Some friends from New York, some friends from New Jersey, Philadelphia, places like that. And I get to see them when they come down to the convention. Some friends from Washington, D.C., you know, I get to see them, you know. So this is always like a jump start. You know, get your battery recharged and go for another year. You get back to your hometown and say, girl, you missed a good convention. They were smoking all over the weekend. So your niece said, well, I'm going next year. So this, and that's what this does for me too, you know. Some of my sponsors are here. They're not my sponsors, they're my friends. They guys are my friends today, you know. They down here, you know. Me and my friend Lamont, we rode down here. He's actually my sponsor, you know. He said I need some help, so I let him help me. But I've said enough, and again, I want to thank this committee for taking the risk and asking me. And I know they ain't got nothing to do, that was God's will, but we got to thank them anyway, you know what I mean? And I thank God for this opportunity, and I love y'all, and enjoy the convention. God bless you.
All right.